Well, just remain standing, if you will. Malachi chapter number 2 and verse 17 again tonight. Appreciate those songs. Amen. I'm glad he will keep me till the water rolls its river, rolls the water at my feet. It says that's somebody he'll keep me till death, and then he'll carry me on the cross. Amen. So not only have we got life, we've got eternal life. Amen. And he'll keep us right on and on, and I'm glad and glad that he will. Amen. Amen. If you will, pray for me about my throat. It's not sore, but it's strained. And pray that the Lord will help me. Tonight, I tried to tone it down, not singing out very much. I'm going to try to tone it down here. So, brother, I may need volume tonight. I don't know. I normally don't. I normally had to put me on the negative side. But tonight, I may need some. I'm going to try to hold her down and preach a little bit more easier on my throat if I can. So, if you will, pray for me in that line. All right. Malachi chapter number 2, verse number 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. If you'll jump with me to verse number 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Doug Bell, would you please lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again for the privilege of being able to come to the house of God.
Yes, Lord, we do.
Prayer requests.
Praise your name and thank you.
Earlier, listeners of the radio station and those of missionaries' families and
meet the needs, Lord, we pray.
I pray for that church, that family.
Yes,
dear
Lord.
God, I pray and ask that you'll be with the sickness within our church, that you'll give grace to each of them. I pray most of all right now, Lord, for Pastor Shepherd and touch his throat, give him strength and help to it. And I pray that you'll help him and anoint him and help him deliver the message that you've laid upon his heart. Speak to our hearts, and we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sending. You can be seated. Thank the Lord for that prayer. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you, it's a blessing to be able to come into the house of God tonight. They were earlier in the week talking about snow today. Had us sort of worried about it. They sprayed all that stuff on the highways. And got up this morning, just rain, amen. And then I figured, well, about dark, it'll be frozen. And look out there and look at the weather, and it's 50 degrees, praise God, amen. That's a little better than freezing. Of course, it's supposed to get lower than that, amen. So it's supposed to get lower than that before the night's over, but I thank God for it right now, amen. And good to be in the house of God. I'd rather be here than anywhere else I know right now, amen, because I believe it's in the will of God being here tonight. And thankful and grateful for that opportunity. Well, I started this morning and telling you that we're finally to the part that I think is the good news part of Malachi. He's dealt with the reproving and the rebuking. Chapters 1 and 2 and the first part of chapter number 3. And now he's to the part of exhorting with all longsuffering and doctrine. He's in the part of encouraging those that are living for God to keep on living for God, because it does pay in the end. Amen. Now, we're not talking about a works-based salvation, not at all. But what we're talking about is people that have genuinely put their trust and faith in the Lord, then living by that faith, walking in that faith and in that spirit and in that that life that they have now started out for the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he's talking about this, that there's coming a day of judgment. That day of judgment, he's going to deal in judgment with sinners, but he's going to deal in justice with the saints. In other words, he's going to repay us rightly. He's going to be a righteous judge. That's what Paul talked about. Paul looked forward to that day, matter of fact. He said that righteous judge has prepared for him. He talked about a crown. And he said, not for me only, but for all them that love his appearing. Amen. And so Paul recognized that the Lord's not just coming with a baseball bat to attack those that are against him, but he's coming with rewards for those that have lived for him and have turned to him for salvation. Amen. We began looking at verse number 16 this morning, and notice that the word then jumped out to us and pointed out that although the majority of Israel were apostate, the majority of Israel were walking away from God, yet there was a remnant. Even though maybe a small remnant, there was a remnant of faithful followers. Amen. And I mentioned this morning that that's the crowd I'd like to be associated with. And I hope that's the crowd you want to be associated with and would follow along with them. But look back at verse number 16 again. And I want to show you there's five breakdowns of this verse. And we preached the first one this morning. And I want to not elaborate on that, but just mention it and give you the others tonight if I can by the help of the Lord. Verse number 16. The Bible says, then. That's the period indicated. Then. Here's the people involved. They that feared the Lord. Amen. So you got the period indicated. You've got the people involved. Then you've got the performance initiated. This is what fear of the Lord will do. Cause you to speak. They spake often one to another. And then the latter part of that verse said, and they thought upon His name. That's the performance that is indicated by people that love the Lord. Amen. And fear the Lord. And then there's the perspective identified. It said the Lord hearkened. Amen. And heard it. And then last of all, there's the promise initiated or ingratiated. And that is that He said a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared Him. Amen. Them that feared the Lord. And so as we looked at, we noticed the period involved or identified. And that is that was then, right in the midst of that darkness. Amen. God showed forth His blessings and His servants. And Brother Bell reminded me of it. And Brother Steve had told me about three sermons that Brother Aubrey Brown had preached here out of Malachi 3:17 primarily. Used 16 and 17 together. And how that he had preached on when the Lord gathers up His jewels. And he had made this statement in the beginning of the first message that when a jeweler wants to show off his exquisite jewels, show you how they sparkle and how they shine, he sets it on the darkest cloth in the darkest atmosphere that he can and then shines a little light on it. Amen. That's what God's doing with these people in Malachi's day. And I personally believe that's what God's doing with us today. As the encroaching darkness sweeps in upon us, God wants us to be jewels that will shine when the light shines upon us. Amen. In this dark world in which we live. That's the period that was identified there. Number two, or I did it A, B, and C. This is B, the people involved. These people are they that feared the Lord. Now, we don't use that word fear like they used it in the Old English very often. The Bible talks about the wife fearing her husband, and it does not mean that she's afraid that he's going to slap her, but the idea is that she reverences him, she respects him. That's the idea here, that these people feared God. Not they were afraid that God was going to knock them over the head, but they loved God, they honored Him, and they did not want to desecrate His name. Amen. And it's actually Strong's number 3373, and it means moral reverence. That's what it means. Moral reverence. The famous Baptist theologian of the 1700s, Dr. John Gill, gives the following definition of this word fear, or this state of fear in which these people lived. He said these people, quote, feared the Lord and served Him. They embraced the Messiah and professed His name. For the fear of God takes in the whole of religious worship, both internal and external, and describes such not that they have a dread of the majesty of God and His judgments and wrath, or a distrust of His power, providence, grace, and goodness, but who have a filial and holy fear of God, a fiducial and fearless one, a reverential affection for Him, and a true and sincere worshipers of Him. Amen. So again, that's an old English definition, but it explains what that word means. I looked up the word fiducial. I've heard of it. I don't know. You probably heard of it. If you hear people talk about money, these people that's telling you how to invest your money, they talk about a fiduciary. And a fiduciary, and by the way, when I looked up the word fiducial, my computer, modern computer, said no matches found. Thesauruses and dictionaries, no matches found. But in Webster's 1828 dictionary, amen. By the way, some of them older folks are a lot smarter than these younger folks. Amen. Amen. Old time back yonder was smarter, amen, about words and things like that than the newfangled languages. We dumb it down rather than increase our wisdom on those things. Amen. But in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it identified the word fiducial. It means a secure trust. Amen. A fiduciary, I looked that up as well to see, since I did recognize that word. A fiduciary is somebody who is a trustee. In other words, you trust them. They own, they have access to the records. They have access to the property. And you trust them with what you've got. I'm telling you, when we trust God, the idea that Dr. Gill had about a fear of God is that we have a filial, means we're related in family relationship with Him, and a fiducial trust. We trust Him with everything we have and everything we own. We can trust Him because He'll stand good for it. Amen. Amen. That's the kind of fear that these people had. They had a fear of God, meaning they had a trust of God. They loved God and they honored God because of that trust. Amen. See, this fear of God does not mean that they just outwardly served God in a legalistic fashion, but that they had an inward love and an inward worship of God that progressed outward and produced sincere service and sincere devotion. Amen. God's not looking for outward. God's looking for inward that works out. Amen. God's looking for a fear of God that starts in the heart and that works out into the actions of man. That's the idea that I've got. Psalm chapter number 69, verses 30 through 32. The psalmist said this, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God." Now the psalmist said this. The psalmist said, "I'm going to serve God out of my heart, and that's going to please God more than a bull or an ox could ever do." Amen. See, I preached from that verse years ago at Brother Raines when he pastored down in at Pleasant View. First time I ever preached down there in his camp meeting, I preached from that verse, and I preached on God don't want your bull. Amen. And it's right. He's not wanting outward sacrifice. Of course, the way I use it, you don't understand how I use it. Well, all this stuff people talking about all the time, a lot of times just a bull. Amen. It's not really real. It's outward show. It's not real. Amen. But the idea that the psalmist had there is that God's not just wanting outward servanthood. He's wanting inward love that produces outward servanthood. Amen. So God's been sending His messages through the prophets in the nation of Israel through the years, through the centuries. And as God had sent His message through the prophets, Malachi is the last of the Old Testament right here. It'll be closing, moving over into the New Testament. John the Baptist is the last prophet, the last Old Testament prophet, even though he lives in a New Testament day and introduces the Lord Jesus Christ. John's the end. The law and the prophets end in John, what the Bible talks about. Malachi's the last voice speaking before 400 silent years between the Testaments there, and all up till that time, up till Malachi and including Malachi, God has been sending His message to the people, and the majority of the people have been turning their ears from the truth. They've been turning off the messenger. They've been turning away from what God said and walking in a different direction. But the blessing is somebody heard. Somebody listened. Some seed found some good soil. Amen. And produced a harvest and fruit for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That encourages me. Amen. And it ought to encourage you that sometimes, although it seems like people are not listening, although it seems like they're not going to live by what you say and by what the Word of God says, they ask for advice, maybe don't live by that advice, there will be, if we'll keep sowing the seed, there will be some good seed, find some good soil that'll bring forth a harvest for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. So you see the people involved. Number three or C, there's the performance and initiated. That what their love, when they heard God and they feared God and loved Him, what that love caused them to do is it caused them to speak often one to another. And it says it in the past tense, spake often one to another and thought upon His name. I want to look at those two things together, if I can, for just a few minutes. These people were not, quote unquote, secret disciples. Amen. They wasn't people that said, "I can worship God as good at home, even though the Super Bowl's on." They're not the crowd that says, I can worship God as good on a lake. I can worship God as good wherever else. I don't need to be in the house of God. These people were not secret disciples. They gathered together. Amen. They made it a point that they assembled themselves together. Amen. And they spoke about the goodness of God. And they spoke against the gainsaying of men. Amen. And by the way, that sounds like a church to me. Amen. Amen. It appears, I mentioned earlier that the word then in verse 16 ties that back with verses 14 and 15. And it appears that these people's speech for God was prompted, was egged on by the speeches against God that was going on out there. And I'm going to tell you, the more that the world rails against God, the more we ought to lift up His name and glorify His name. Amen. The more they try to denigrate and desecrate the name of God, the more we ought to lift it up and glorify Him. I'm not talking about just punching them in the eye, but I'm talking about our God deserves praise, honor, and glory. Amen. Amen. And we ought more, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe their speeches, the speech of the devoted, this is the way I wrote it in my notes, the speech of the devoted was a response to the speeches of the derelicts. Albert Barnes said it this way. He said, "The proud speaking of the ungodly called out the piety of the God-fearing." Amen. Amen. You know, the world today is not ashamed to speak boldly about what they worship. They're not ashamed to speak about their love and promote their cause. Amen. I was telling my wife as we were listening to the news, getting ready to come. We were actually in the process of getting ready and almost ready to walk out the door. And the news came on and it was talking about these college professors somewhere. Excuse me, I didn't hear where it was, but these college professors have been told that they dare not talk to people either in correspondence or in addressing people. You can't say Mr. or Mrs. any longer because that designates a gender. You can't do that. And so they're telling them that they can't do it in their writings. They can't say Mr. or Mrs. anymore. You're not allowed to say ladies and gentlemen. You're not allowed to say things like that because that puts people in a category. And we don't want people to have to be in a category. They want to be able to choose or swap or change or do whatever they want to do. What I told my wife, I said, the thing that they don't understand, those sodomites can do perverted art. I mean, wicked pornographic art and say that is freedom of speech.
Right.
But then they can say, we can't even use words that are proper words, like ladies and gentlemen and Mr. and Mrs. Amen. And they don't see that that is limiting speech. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what we ought to do. I'm not saying that we ought to get us a t-shirt. By the way, I'm not ashamed of being a mister. And I don't want to be mistaken for a miss or a Mrs. Can I believe it ought to be the other way around as well? If you're a miss or a missus, you ought not want to be mistaken for a mister.
Right.
Amen. Lord help us, we're in a mess. I don't mean to get up on that. But the more they push that, and that's what the world is in love with today. It's what they're in love with. And they just keep pushing it and pushing it. I'm going to tell you, the more they do, the more we ought to stand for God and say, God makes no mistakes. Amen. Amen. Well, matter of fact, I put something about that in my notes. Let me see if I can get down there and find it. Today, the atheists, the liberals, the sodomites, and the race baiters are much louder and reported much more frequently than the voices calling for repentance, revival, and a return to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we may not be able to get our voice on the megaphone. We may not be able to get our voice lifted above their voices. But it's not them that has to hear us. As long as God can hear us, that's really what counts. Because God can take what we say and make it mean something and make it work more than we can. Amen. 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 Those that love the Lord, those that live for God, ought to gather together consistently, faithfully attending their local church, and should speak up regarding the issues of the day, and speak up regarding the honor and the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Amen. Whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 or 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Amen. In other words, we ought not be ashamed of Jesus in this day. We ought to be ready and willing to speak up. Amen. And announce which side we're on. Amen. Brother Bell was telling me as we was coming in that he'd seen an advertisement on his phone. It was some app that he clicked on, and some on his phone that what's the name of the group?
Hallmark
greeting cards now is advertising Valentine's cards. Two women advertising the Valentine's card. The couples are women. God help us. Amen. Promoting that. Amen. Well, you know what we ought to do? We ought to stand up and say, listen, God did not put two women together. God intended on it being a male and a female. Amen. Anything beyond that is pervert. Amen. Perverted. It's wrong. It's wicked. Amen. It's disgusting. Amen. 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 Well, didn't mean to get off on that. But Brother Bell said he was going to boycott Hallmark. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, not only should we speak out against those that rail against our God, but it's important that we gather together and encourage each other to stay with the stuff. Amen. It's important that we encourage each other to keep on in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does not just say they spoke up about those things, but it said they spake one to another about those things. Amen. And so they were encouraging each other in the true worship. Amen. And excuse me. They were encouraging each other in true worship and true separation from ungodliness. Amen. The commentators, Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, in their commentary on the Bible, they said this. I like this quote. They said, when the fire of religion burns low, true believers should the nearer gather to keep the holy flame alive. Coals separated soon go out. That's a good quote, ain't it? If you've ever built a fire and you know about that, if you go in and you're going to, and maybe you let it burn down in the night, you get up in the morning going to try to restart that fire, you don't rake the coals apart, because when you rake them apart, they cool down. You rake them together. And when they get together, they start sparking and they start heating up. Amen. And they start glowing, and you put a little bit of wood on there and you've got a fire going again. Amen. I'm telling you, when the world's trying to blow our fire out, they're trying to put our fire out, our coals may be burning low. We don't need to get them apart. We need to get them together and let them heat up and glow and burn for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Pulpit commentary had this quote. It says, we are social beings. And what interests us most has the chief power of bringing us together. Nothing interests a religious man so much as religion. Hence, the few good people living in the corrupt age of Malachi met and spake often one to another. Spoke, no doubt, in language of mutual instruction, mutual comfort, and mutual exhortation. There is no force in the world so socializing as religion. It brings souls together and centers them in a common object of love, in a common current of sympathy, and in a common course of life. Amen. He's just saying again in that pulpit commentary that we need to not let the devil divide us, but allow us to come together and worship together. Amen. Encourage one another in the way that is right. I believe that's right. Amen. Tonight, and I didn't realize that it was Super Bowl night until somebody mentioned it in the prayer room, and that's fine. But tonight, people are gathering, partying. Some of them may not even know who's playing who. I don't. And I'm not fussing about it, but I don't care who's playing who. 10,000 years from now, what's a Super Bowl ring going to be worth? Nothing. It's going to be mailed. What that trophy's going to be worth? As a matter of fact, next year it won't mean much because we'll be fighting over it again. Amen. Won't mean much. But I'm telling you what we're dealing with is going to be worth something. Yeah. Amen. It's worth something now. It'll be worth something throughout eternity. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. But my thought was they're gathering together, having their parties, they're meeting together. And the only thing they have in common is they know there's a Super Bowl going on. Amen. We come in here tonight, we got a lot more than that in common. Amen. We got a common Savior. We got a common salvation. Amen. We got a common Father. We know that in spite of the fact that this world seems like it's going to the dogs, we're going to a better place. Amen. We got more to celebrate than they ever thought about. Amen. Amen. The only thing I envy them about is them chicken wings. Amen. Amen. If we could have this and chicken wings, well, wouldn't that be something? Amen. Lord help us. Amen. Well, these people were fulfilling the teaching of Scripture. Hebrews 10:25. I preached on it Wednesday night. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. They were assembling together, and they were exhorting one another to maintain the faith. Amen. To stay in the truth of the things that were right. Amen. Not only did these people join together and speak out against those that spoke against their God, but when they gathered together, they spoke to each other about the goodness of their God. It's one thing to gather in and, for example, complain, and we do that, and we need to, by the way. You need to know that Hallmark is going to take your dollars and going to use advertise sodomy.
Right.
You need to know that. Amen. And it might help you redirect your funds somewhere. Amen. Now, it probably won't hurt Hallmark, but it would if enough people did it. Amen. Might cause them to open their eyes and see that the world's not all sodomites. They're a very vocal minority. Amen. Amen. That's right. But anyway, you need to know about it. But instead of just gathering together and complaining about what's going out there, they probably gathered together because it said they thought upon His name. Amen. So they not just looked at the world, but they looked up to God and they said, boy, ain't our God something else. Amen. Ain't our God good? They got to bragging on their God. Amen. Walking with God. Somebody probably said, I got a praise report. Amen. In the midst of trouble, they bragged on God.
Amen.
Amen. That's the way it ought to be. They thought upon His name. That's what the word, the Scripture says. The word thought, that Hebrew word translated thought here, is Strong's number 2803. It means to plait or to weave. And my wife's been working on a quilt. Not a quilt. What? A blanket? Is that what that is? A blanket. And praise God, we're going to have another grandbaby. We've got to get on a blanket. Amen. And I hope she has to make 20 more. Amen. 40 years out, be all right with me. But well, maybe not. Maybe not that fast. But anyway, that'd be a litter, wouldn't it? I see what happens when I slow down. I have too much time to think. Well, she's working on that blanket, and she's sewing, and some of it's cross stitch, and some of it's other stuff. I don't know what all it is. I'm not too up on that stuff. But as she's doing that, the point I'm making is she has to sit down and think about it. Every now and then she'll say, oh, look at there, I did it again. And she's got a thread in wrong or something. And she goes pulling out and redoing and reworking. And in other words, she is meditating. She's paying attention. She is focusing on what she's doing. That's what this word thought on God means.
Right.
They got to focus in on God. They got to weave in their thoughts together. Say, boy, I see God's hand here, and I see how it's coming together here. Amen. Yeah, in spite of all the world that's going on in the world, all the wickedness going on in the world, they could see God working over here and God working over here and start putting it all together. And they got to platten that together. And it not only means to plait, and not only means to weave, but it means to plot. To plot, you know, in other words, planning things out. Amen. And we use the word plot as a bad thing. They're plotting evil is usually how we think. But it's the idea, the idea of strategy. Amen. And so they get to looking for God. That's the point. They see all their trouble and they come in and they hear people talking about the trouble that's going on and the problems in the world. And they start looking for God's hand and saying, I wonder what God's going to do next. And they start getting excited about their God working in their day. Amen. That word also carries the thought of counting, as if counting money. It's an accounting term, matter of fact. They thought on His name. Amen. You say, what does that mean? Well, they could count on God.
Amen.
Amen. They could count on His name. But in the idea of accounting, not only you count, you know why you count money? If we took that jar right there, that jug, and if we were to count the money that's in it, more than likely the reason we counted it is because we plan on using it. Isn't that right? We want to know how much is there. Why? Because we want to know what it's worth. We want to know what we can do with it. Well, when you're counting on God, you're saying, I want to know what God's worth. I'm going to tell you He's worth a whole lot. Amen. You start recognizing the value of God. You start recognizing the worthiness. That's what, amen, worship is showing worthyship. Amen. And you start recognizing how powerful God is, how mighty God is, how important God is, how precious God is, how good God is. Buddy, I'm going to tell you after a while, you'll have a spell. Amen. And if you ain't careful, you'll strip your throat right out. Amen. Amen. They were honoring God's good name. Amen. They thought on His name. Now, here's where I'm headed with that. And I'm almost to my next point, but I won't say this. They're honoring God's name. His name was worthy of honor. Now, why was His name good? Why did it matter that He had a good name? My grandfather used to say, a man's only as good, a man's name is only as good as his word.
Right.
Amen. Or a man's only as good as his word. If a man's got a good name, and the Bible talks about a good name be desired. And to have a good name means you're good to your word. that when you say something, you do it, right? Amen. You're honest. You're faithful. You stand up for what you believe in, and you say it right. All right? And you live it right. All right? The idea here with God, they were saying, God, you don't love us. These other people saying, God's good to His Word. Amen. They were saying, God, you don't pay when we do right. And you're not going to judge those that do wrong. These people were saying, God's good to His Word. Amen. They were accounting God as worthy, not only of their worship, but worthy of their service because He is faithful to what He promised. Matter of fact, He said He has exalted His Word above His name. He's got a name that's above every other name. Amen. Amen. He's got a name above every other name, and yet His Word's exalted above His name, and God's going to keep His Word. That's the promise that I've got here. Amen. So not only these things, that last one, the performance initiated. When people start serving God, when people start loving God, it initiates a service. All right. Then this fourth thing, D, is the perspective identified. God hearkened. Now notice this. Three things are said about God paying attention to what they said. Verse 16. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written. Amen. So three things about God heard. God hearkened. The word hearkened there is not just that He overheard. It's that He leaned down and said, I want to hear more of that. Amen. That He starts paying real close attention as to what's going on. Amen. He started, we'd say, zeroing in. He hearkened and He heard, and He wrote a book of remembrance. Now, I'll go back to that book of remembrance in a minute. That's my last point. This perspective identified the Lord hearkened and He heard. Notice that these people were not speaking to God, but He heard them. They were speaking about God. Notice it, verse 16. And then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. Not to God, one to another. So they were not, technically, they were not praying. They were just talking to each other. Amen. Speaking about God, and yet God was taking notice. Amen. These people are not said to be praying, but it appears to me that God heard and answered their prayers that were not even vocalized. Amen. God said, before you call, I'll answer. Amen. Amen. And this is the evidence of that. Amen. But one thing I noticed about these people, I cannot prove that they were praying, but I can prove that they were faithfully attending church. They were consistently living separated godly lives. They were praising God for His goodness. And all the people that I know that faithfully attend church, praise God for His goodness, and consistently walk with God are praying people. Amen. And so I'd say I believe they're praying people. Their prayer life is not specifically recorded, but I believe it's evident that they had a consistent prayer life. Amen. Now, we know God hears everything. Isn't that right? God hears everything. He don't just hear what we say here. He hears what everybody else is saying. Amen. He not only hears what we say here, but He hears everything else we say everywhere else we are. He hears it all. We know that. We recognize that. But here it specifically said that He not only heard, but He hearkened. He tuned in to it. See, God sees everything, but there came a day when God said to Abraham, He walked by Abraham's place, if you remember Genesis chapter 18, and He had two men with Him, which were probably two angels. Some say God the Father, God the Son, Holy Ghost, but apparently two angels, because those angels went on into Sodom. God, it doesn't look like stepped foot in Sodom. There's something there. Amen. But as God's walking by, and He says to those angels, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I do? And He said to Abraham, He said, I'm headed to Sodom, because He said the stench of their evil has ascended up to heaven. And to paraphrase it, He said, I'm coming down to see if it's as bad as it seems. Now He saw. He knew. Isn't that right? God sees everything. But there's a difference in seeing it and really investigating. I saw that glass of water or cup of water for a long time ago, but I really never looked to make sure there wasn't anything in it besides water. Amen. Now, not that God has limited knowledge, but He's saying this so we can understand it. He's saying, I heard it, but then I really tuned in and hearkened to what they had to say. He specifically paid close attention. Amen. Amen. Now, here's where I want to go with that. Isn't it astounding that the God of heaven, the maker and sustainer of the universe, can take time away from casting stars into space, amen, from spinning planets in their orbit, from hurling comets across the sky. He can stop long enough to listen to what men you got to say. That he can cut through all the static of the satellite transmissions, cut through all the static of the radio transmissions, cut through all the static of the television transmissions, cut through all the static of everybody talking and gossiping and haranguing and going on. He can cut through all that to hear what's going on in a little church service. Amen. To hear what's going on in a mission station around the world in a jungle somewhere. Amen. He can cut through all that and hear what's being said in a vehicle between two brethren that are just talking about God. God can listen to what they got to say. Amen. That blesses my heart. Amen. And here's what I get from that. Not only when he heard it, you know what he did? He heard it. That's as if he heard them praying, and he's answering their prayer. I'm telling you, sometimes we come in and you're telling me your prayer request, but God hears it. Amen. Sometimes you're just talking to a brother or sister and you're telling them your heart, but God hears it. Thank God. I'm letting fine tune his hearing. Amen. Amen. He can zero in on what's being said. Praise God. Amen. Our God pays attention. Amen. When we have something to say about Him. Amen. Amen. During marathon, somebody may have requested it. We were talking about it when we had that run. People were calling in honoring veterans, and we were talking, and I had Brother Bell find that song, When Mama Prayed, Heaven Paid Attention. He asked me if I'd heard the story about it, and I'd heard some of it, but I didn't know that it's actually on the thing. But in my understanding, and do you remember which war that was in? Was that World War II? I think it was. In the story, anyway, they got if I'm getting it right, I think that they had a flag. They had to get up there and get that. They wanted to stand that flag back up. Every time a soldier would head out that way, they'd gun him down. They were trying to lift that flag back up. And every time they'd send one out, they'd gun him down. They finally got down till they was getting low on men. And whoever was in charge, the commanding officer, said, I'm going to take volunteers. And the young man said, sir, I'll volunteer, but I can't go now. I got to wait. And he had a certain amount of time that he had to wait. Amen. And he said in that, he said, when that time came, he walked out there. He didn't have to hunker down. He just walked boldly out there, stood the flag up. The bullets went to flying, but they flew all around him. None of them hit him. And he walked back, got back in the place. And they said, how in the world did you do that? And why did you have to wait till a specific time? He said, because my mama made me a promise that at such and such time she'd pray for me every day. And I knew when mama prayed, heaven paid attention. Amen. I'm telling you, on the authority of this word, whether or not that song's right or not, it is right. Amen. Well, that's a true story or not, it is true that when we talk about God, God listens, amen. God hears and he hearkens and he writes her down in his book, amen. Amen. God pays attention to what we have to say about him and about his glory, amen. Although we live in a time of corruption and apostasy, we ought to keep gathering together with the saints, amen. Speaking about the goodness of our God and the ordinances of his word, amen. That reminds me of what went on in the nation of Israel. Or with the nation of Israel down in Egyptian bondage. Exodus chapter number 2, verses 22 and through 25. It says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. This is the king that knew Joseph. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Amen. They're in bondage, they're under a hard taskmaster, and they start crying out to God. Now, I don't know if they were actually praying or just talking to one another like these men and saying, boy, we're under it. Why? I hope God does something about this. And God heard their cry. Amen. Amen. I believe as Christians, we're going to get to the place we're going to be crying like John. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And God's apt to tune into that. Amen. And say, all right, that's enough. It's enough. Amen. Let me give you the last one. It's the promise ingratiated. Ingratiated means you get in the good favors with somebody. And here, God favored what they did. Amen. It blessed God that his people were calling on his name, and he wrote a book of remembrance. It said, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. Amen. A book of remembrance. Now, I say right off, God's not forgetful. He's never forgotten anything that he doesn't want to forget. Amen. Amen. He can forget our sins. Amen. That's because he's willing to do that. But he's not a forgetful God. It's not as if he has to write it down in his book like some fellas I know. Or me and Brother Steve got in the same boat on that. Got to write her down or we'll forget what's going next. Amen. God don't have to do that. But he said, I'm writing it down. Why is he saying he's writing it down? Because he's wanting to encourage us. He is not going to forget it.
Right.
He is not going to forget the things we do. Amen. God does not forget, and neither does God have to stoop over to listen. But he's saying this in a language we can understand. I believe that's the idea of the prophets preaching this, and he's saying it to them in a language that they can understand as a fashion of man, so that we might get the perspective and we can understand. Amen. What God is here promising is that he will permanently remember his word. He will permanently remember the works that we've done in honor of his word. Amen. He will permanently remember the words and the deeds of his people. This, by the way, is written in the fashion of the way kings used to do. And especially in the Old Testament, you can find it over and over. And I picked out a couple of places. In Ezra, chapter number 4, the enemies of Israel sent a letter to Artaxerxes. Ezra had taken some back. They were going back there to rebuild the temple. Zerubbabel was in charge of that gathering. And they were going to rebuild the temple. The heathen around them, the neighbors, rose up against that. And they wanted to do something to hinder them. So they wrote a letter to the king, Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And here's what they say. They reference a record of the rebelliousness of the Jews at Jerusalem. Ezra chapter 4, verse 15. The Bible says that search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So not only the king, but the king's fathers, who were kings as well, had written these things down. That search may be made in the book of the records of thy fathers. So shalt thou find in the book of the records, and know that this city is a rebellious city, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same of old time, for which cause was this city destroyed. Now, these people in Ezra's day were writing this letter and said to the kings, kings, search the record. There's records made that these people are up to no good. And they were trying to say, because they've done it in the past, this is what they're going to do now. And God wrote this in Malachi in reflection to that, not because he has to remember, because he's got to look back. He doesn't put our tears in a bottle because he's going to forget them. No, he does that because they're precious to him, and he wants us to know how precious they are and the fact that he's not going to forget. Amen. But these kings have these records. There's another case. You remember in the book of Esther? This is a real good case. In the book of Esther, when chapter 2, the king of Persia, you remember he had, Vashti had disobeyed him. He got rid of her and he had like a beauty pageant, I guess you'd say, to pick his next princess. And Esther got that, and it was in the providence of God that Esther got placed there for such a time as this. Amen. No doubt. Mordecai was the one that raised Esther. He was, her parents were dead, and so he was raising her. And the Bible says in Esther chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, in those days while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king, Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both hanged on a tree, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles of the king, the Chronicles before the king. So Mordecai, however you said, he heard what was going on, and he sent word through the queen, and the queen got it stopped and certified the king. In other words, told the king, I got this news from Mordecai, and so it was written in the book. And you remember the story how Haman comes along? Haman hates Mordecai because Mordecai won't bow before him. Amen. By the way, that's why the world hates Christianity, because Christianity will not bow.
Right.
The key word in this generation is tolerance.
Right.
Christians have been put to death for centuries because we are intolerant. Amen. In other words, we won't change the fact Jesus is the only way. Amen. You're either in or you're out. There's no in between. Amen. We are intolerant. Not that we hate people, but it is just that way, and it's the only way it can be. Amen. And have been hated through the centuries. Well, Haman was like that, and he hated Mordecai. And so he devised a plan to have Mordecai killed, but not just him, but all of his people, which were the Jews, by the way. You remember the story how that the king couldn't sleep in Esther chapter number 6? Verse number 1, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. The king said, "What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?" Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, "There is nothing done for him." So Mordecai had performed a good deed. It was written in the book of the kings, but he wasn't rewarded for it. On a providential night when the king could not sleep, and I got an idea who it was keeping him awake. Amen. The king could not sleep, and he called for the records to be read properly. He thought, "Well, I'll read them boring records and I'll go off to sleep." But he read those records and something jumped out at him. Again, I believe it was God arresting his attention. Amen. And he said, "This man did something for me. What did I do for him?" Amen. And they said nothing was done. As you know the story, how that he rewarded Mordecai. And eventually, Haman, who had connived and had ingratiated himself with the government of Persia and was trying to kill all God's people, Haman was hanged on his own gallows. Amen. I'm telling you, God's using a record just like that. Amen. He's saying here in our text, "I'm writing down the good deeds you've done." Amen. And I'm telling you, although you did the deed, it was recorded in his book, and it seemed as if no payment came, no reward came. At the very best time, amen, at the most providential time, amen, God will remember that. That's what he said. "I will remember," not that he's forgotten, but he'll bring it back up again and he'll read it back over and he'll say, "You know, I believe I'll do something good for them." Amen. 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 I'm going to tell you, it does pay to live for God. There's coming a day, Haman represents Satan. There's coming a day when the devil, by the way, has ingratiated himself with the governments of the world. And he's connived to kill the Christians. He's connived to kill God's men and God's people. Amen. And there's coming a day when he's going to be hanged on the gallows he's prepared for us. Amen. Amen. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter number 20, and I'll close. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 12. And while you're turning there to read, I'm going to read you Daniel chapter number 7, verses 9 and 10. You're looking at Revelation 20, verse 10 through 12. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 9. The Bible says, "I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him." And here's the phrase I want you to notice. "And judgment was set, and the books were opened." That's Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Look in Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 12. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books," plural, "according to their works." Amen. Now, the great white throne judgment is not the judgment to determine who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. Judgment seat's not to determine who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. Amen. The judgment seat of Christ, what's known as the Bema seat, all those there are saved. Amen. And they're going to heaven, but he's going to judge us based on our works. I believe he's going to judge us how we're going to reign or not in the kingdom, and how our rewards are going to be in the kingdom. Then in Revelation chapter 20, this is the great white throne judgment. All those there are lost. I believe we will be there as witnesses. Amen. Brother Sammy says it. The way he says it, I believe he's right. He says he's going to come and get us, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means wherever he is, we're going to be. So if he's sitting on that throne, we're going to be there with him. I believe that. But we're not there to be judged. We're there as witnesses. Amen. And he's going to judge them according to the works. Now, where are those works? The Bible says they're in the books. They're in the books. Now, here's where I'm going. God said he wrote those things in the books. He didn't write them for his benefit.
Right.
He didn't need the books. But we're going to get to see the books one of these days. When we're accounting on God, we're looking at those. You know what? I know Sister Woodard knows accounting. You're dealing with the books, ain't you? You're dealing with the books. What went in and what went out. Amen. Where it went and what was done with it. I'm telling you, there's coming a day in glory when God's going to say, I wrote it down and I didn't write it down because I'd forget. I wrote it down because you forgot. There's deeds, I'll guarantee you, there's many deeds we've done for the glory of God that we haven't kept a record of. We forgot about it. Matter of fact, that's exactly how we're supposed to do. The Bible says when you lend, don't lend money expecting to get it back, by the way, because if you do, you're going to be disappointed more than likely. He said, when you lend, just give it away. Don't expect it coming back. Amen. In other words, forget about it. When somebody does you wrong, in other words, forget about it. God's keeping the record.
Amen.
Amen. One of these days, He's going to let us see the books, how that He took care of everything that needed to be done, and He's going to show us that He judged righteously. Amen. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank You for the privilege of being in the house of God. Privilege to study this book of Malachi. Lord, Malachi is a great prophet and a great book. Blesses my heart. The more I see in it, the more I see in it. Lord, I want to thank You. There's so much there. I want to thank You, Lord, You are keeping a record. We play the song sometimes, my Lord keeps a record. Lord, I'm glad You are. Lord, there's things on my record I'm not proud of. And I do ask, Lord, for forgiveness. I ask for help, Lord. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to put blemishes there again. But Lord, I pray help us to live in such a way that we'll not be ashamed of our record because You're keeping a record. Father, I pray that You'd help us that we wouldn't try to keep tally. We wouldn't try to keep score. We just serve God. Live for God and leave all that up to You. Accounting that You're faithful. You'll keep a good record. We can trust You with it. And Lord, one of these days You'll let us look at the books and we'll rejoice that You took care of everything. You answered prayers we even forgot we prayed. You answered prayers even when we didn't vocalize it to You. Maybe we just said it to somebody else. Lord, we'll thank You for it. Help us, God, in these dark days live for You and glorify You. I pray, Lord, You'd bless in this invitation time. Have Your way and help us, Lord, in do that You see fit. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. While we stand and sing, if you need to come, come on.
157.
If you need to come, come on.